Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You are spectacular.
Let's go!
So many people, when they've had a little disaster, they count their losses and seldom count what they've got left.
You can do it!
I'm Jim Burns. We all need people in our lives who inspire us. Their enthusiasm for what they're doing is so contagious, we find ourselves drawn to them, seeking them out more often just so we can be nourished by their presence. Well, these kinds of influences are essential. And during the next half hour, it is my privilege to once again welcome a man who has made a powerful impression, not only on my life, but on millions of others. Zig Ziglar is here again. And even though he is 80 years young now, he still has zeal for life and a passion for serving God that touches lives in every generation. Creating a life you can't wait to live is our theme on today's edition of Homeward. So stay with us for a great program.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Zig Ziglar again with us today. We're talking about creating a life you can't wait to live, and I can't wait to have you continue to be listening with Zig Ziglar, author of 24 celebrated books on the topics of personal growth, leadership, faith, family, many, many books that have influenced my life. He is known for the motto, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. It's a great thought. He lives with his wife, Jean, father of four, and lives in Plano, Texas. Welcome back to our program.
It's a delight to be back, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Well, what a joy. And as I mentioned to you off the air, your book, Better Than Good, which has just come out, I think it's one of your best books. It's just been great. And I appreciate so much that you bring in and weave in faith into the whole topic of living a life that you just can't wait to live, because it does take faith, doesn't it?
Of course it does. You know, the only words that you can absolutely depend on as being true and accurate in every way is God's Word. I live and study His Word every day. I laughingly tell people I read the Bible every day, read the newspaper every day, and that way I know what both sides are up to. And, you know, I just think that's very important.
Sure it is. Absolutely, it's important. Now, last time we talked a little bit about the title Better Than Good and why you wrote the book. Why don't you give us a review for any of our listeners who didn't, and then I've got to move on because I've got hundreds of questions I could ask you. We don't have much time. So Better Than Good.
Well, Better Than Good was kind of born through my mother, who one day just was sharing with me that for most boys, what I had done would be okay, but I was not most boys. I was her son, and my son can do better than this. Hmm. Well, over a period of time, I just said, not only can I do better than this, I can do better than good. And so when I use that phrase, it's amazing. At least one person out of three will stop and say, you know, I really like that. And I can tell you in doing the book stories about people who use that phrase and enhance their business dramatically. It changes the environment of the organization you're working with. It affects everybody. It is a first-person, present tense, positive affirmation of who you are and where you are. And people want to know something about you when you do it that way.
No, absolutely. And that sounds a little bit like attitude. And in your book, one of the things I appreciate is basically it's the phrase, attitude is everything. And you talk about perception and attitude. Help us understand that.
Well, the reality is, according to research done at both Harvard and Stanford, prove that 85% of the reason we get jobs and get ahead in those jobs is because of our attitudes, only 15% because of our technical skills. And one of the greatest attitudes of all is the attitude of gratitude. I frequently, and incidentally for what it's worth, I validate things psychologically, theologically, and physiologically before I verbalize them, write them, or record them, because we are physical, mental, and spiritual. And one of my sources said this, the more you express gratitude for what you have, the more you will have to express gratitude for. And the more you complain about the problems you have, the more problems you'll have to complain about. So what do you want? Do you want to have things that you're grateful for or things that you're complaining about? Well, complain about them, you'll have more of those. Gratitude expressed about them will enable you to have more of those things too.
You call this the practicality of gratitude, and that's something you've practiced for a long time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Hans Selye, the great stress specialist, said that gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions, and I believe that's absolutely true. So many people, when they've had a little disaster, they count their losses and seldom count what they've got left. And when we focus on that, when disaster strikes, we just need to remember that the God of the mountaintop is also the God of the valley. And when we understand that, then we've got some real help that's always there.
Well, speaking of the mountaintop, you talk in your book about peak performance.
Yeah.
To do that, you've got to develop a plan and setting goals. Walk through that aspect. If you want a peak performance, how do you do that plan and set goals?
Well, number one, very few people have set a goal. If you're going to build a doghouse, they'd have a plan. If they're going to play a football game, they have a plan. You got a vacation, you have a plan, what you're going to do and where you're going to go. But if you think about it for a moment, the audiences I talk to tell me that as a general rule, on the day before they go on vacation, the night before they plan it. Hmm. And on the day before vacation, they say they get about 50% more work done. Well, if it works so well on one day, why won't it work every day? Dave Jensen of UCLA did a study on the seminars that I'm privileged to work with, Peter Lowe Seminars and our own Born to Win seminar, and he discovered that those with a balanced goals program, almost regardless of their profession, earn approximately twice as much money, are happier and healthier, and get along better with the folks at home. The reason is very simple. If you know where you want to go and have a plan to get there, you just don't sweat the small stuff. Those are the qualities, the character qualities that make a difference. That's the reason I keep getting back to my Bible. Because in the first 200 years of our country's history, over 90% of all of the educational thrust, according to the Thomas Jefferson Research Institute, was of a religious, moral, ethical nature. Now, by 1950, the percentage was so small you couldn't even measure it. And by 1960, it was anti-Christian. There's a reason that less than 3 million Americans produced Washington, Madison, Jefferson, Hamilton, etc., etc., etc. It is because of what they were taught in school. What were they taught? Well, the New England Primer was what they used. In those years, first graders were using 5- and 6-syllable words. They taught the alphabet by A. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. Right down the line, it was all biblical. And God's word just does not return void.
Isn't that fascinating? As we talk about peak performance, one of the topics that you deal with is the issue of failure. And one of the quotes that I underlined in your book for me was, failure is life's refining process. Talk about that.
That's right. Well, as a matter of fact, the Bible deals with that as well. You know, what God does is he takes us to the woodshed periodically, lets us have those difficulties, because as we say in the modern world, you know, you don't breed champions on feather beds. God knows it's in difficulty that we grow. The God of the mountaintop is the God of the valley, but interestingly enough, we seldom seek him when we're on the mountaintop. You know, man, I got this thing going. It's everything. But when we get in the valley, we realize we need help. And that's when we do our very best work. The food we grow in the valley is what we'll eat on the mountaintop. The lessons we learn in the valley are the very things that will take us to the mountaintop again.
So, Zig, if somebody is going through a valley experience right now, what suggestion would you give to them? Maybe home's not going well. Maybe their kid's life isn't going well. Maybe their business isn't going well. What would Zig Ziglar say to them?
I would say to them, sit down and quietly evaluate what really is important to you. Research done at Harvard revealed that the most important thing there of your physical health is the relationship you have with the people you love. It points out there very clearly that the relationship has more to do with your physical health than the foods you eat, the exercise program you own, or even the genes you've inherited. Now, what happens at home affects what happens on the job. Now, the reality is the research was done that showed that by a count of 10 to 1, people are more interested in good relationships at home than they are bucks in the bank and corporate position. But where do they spend all their time? That's exactly right. Now, interestingly enough, when they balance it out, giving the attention to the wife and the children, or the husband and the children, that they will, in fact, be performing better on the job. And that is a very important thing. And when they perform better on the job, they're able to perform better at home, too. One of the things I've had as a huge advantage is I've got the home court advantage. A classic example in the athletic world, Jason Kidd, basketball player, pretty good one. 5 years ago, he was a wife abuser. He went to counseling, solved the problem. That year, he came within a whisper of becoming the most valuable basketball player in the NBA. The next year, he led his team to the final game of the championship. They almost won it. They've been in the playoffs every year since. When Jason Kidd is on the basketball court, one thought only. How can I lead this team to victory? How can I be a better leader? How can we win this game? When he gets home, one thought, how can I be a better husband? How can I be a better parent? And it's more than a cliche to say that what you focus on, you excel at. And that's one of the reasons I think I've been able to do what I've been able to do, because when I'm on the job, man, I'm on the job. When I'm at home, that redhead of mine gets my attention. My children get my attention. My son is president of our company. So with the relationship we have there, I know it's going to be done right, a godly way.
Right. No, and that's great input. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. More to come.
You're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns here on the Homeward Broadcast in an interview he recorded with Zig Ziglar a couple of years ago at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. They're talking about creating a life that you can't wait to live. And Roger Marsh here back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, reminding you that Homeward is here to equip you with the tools you need to let God create that life inside of you that you just can't wait to live. We can do that because of your prayers and also your faithful financial support. And if you can make a contribution to support our ministry right now, we would truly appreciate hearing from you. You can make your tax-deductible donation through our secure website at homeward.com or write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Zig Ziglar with us today. We're talking about creating a life you can't wait to live. 79 and still young and energetic. Zig, how do you stay motivated in the middle of this? You can have the passion, you can go for the peak performance, but how do you stay motivated? How do you keep motivated?
The same way you got motivated. You keep putting in the good, the clean, the pure, the powerful stuff in your mind. When I get in my automobile, for example, I almost never do anything but insert a CD. Something that is teaching me things that I need to know or want to know. Classic example, Laura Mages, my executive assistant, 28 years, finished the 10th grade. She's by far the best one I've ever had. A few years ago, we evaluated our key personnel, and she checked out at slightly above the master's degree level. Now, we're the training company. We send out dozens of proposals every year for training contracts. Some of them, or most of them, are in $2,000 or $3,000 range, but some of them are huge. Laurie Majors has the final say before a proposal ever goes out. She checks it for the practicality financially for us. She goes to the legal department to check out and make certain we're in the right school. As you make certain the readability is clear, and before anything goes out, Laurie Majors has her say-so on it. 10th grade. But she's a great student. Every morning on the way to work, she's listening to things she wants and needs to know. On the way home, she's doing exactly the same thing. She reads good books. She goes to good seminars. We need to stay on a constant growth process because a well-educated person today is prepared for a world that no longer exists. It's only the constant student that's going to survive and thrive in the world we live in today.
Good input. I know you talk quite a bit in Better Than Good, the book, about purpose. How do you understand the calling in life? Sometimes people can be very good at doing what they do, but they don't understand their calling in life, and it seems to me that kind of goes hand in hand with purpose.
It sure does. Dr. Howard Hendricks says your career is what you're paid for, your calling is what you were made for. See, God tells us, Jeremiah, that he has a plan for us. When we zero in on what God's plan and purpose for our life is, it's easier for us to set our goals, to find out what is really important to us. See, my purpose in life and my number one objective everything I do is directly or indirectly aimed at winning people to the kingdom. The Great Commission is on my mind wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. There's no joy that even comes close to comparing to the joy when through the Holy Spirit you're able to tell the story of the gospel and win people to Christ. There's no joy quite like that. And I got to tell you, Jim, the last thing I do in public seminars, I show my picture. It's me seated behind my desk. In front of me are over 5,000 letters unsolicited from all over the world about people whose lives have been dramatically enriched, marriages saved, kids coming off of drugs, senior citizens going back to college and getting their degrees, the whole nine yards. A letter from a soldier in Iraq. He had gotten discouraged and his troops were really down on him a little bit. His parents sent him a set of the tapes that he had refused to listen to as a youngster. He started playing those tapes to his troops, and a dramatic, radical change took place right there. Over and over, one lady came to our seminar to learn to build her confidence so she could divorce her husband. While there, she learned that maybe she was part of the problem. Together, they worked on the problem. I had done it with them a few months later. Lovey-dovey like you've never seen. I write about them in the book. And it's really amazing what happened to them when they understood each one of them had a part in the problem. So both of them needs to have a part in the solution.
That makes a lot of sense. What if you're in a situation where you want to move and you want to have purpose and you want to work on your calling, but your spouse doesn't? What do you say to that person?
Well, first of all, you need to do more courting. Mm-hmm. I just flat believe that husband and wife need to get on the same page. In every seminar I'm doing today, I point out that the intelligence of men and women is different. We're different, you know. I laughingly tell the husbands, I said, the ladies first, you know, your husband doesn't give a hoot about what's on television. All he wants to know is what else is on television. And husbands, I'll tell you that your wife resents it when you ignore them all day and then give them your undivided attention when the lights go out at night. She wants a hug when all you got on your mind is a hug. My wife and I hug at least 15 times a day. Not long, not sensuous, just simply saying, I sure am glad you're mine. I love you very much. But the reality is, because our intelligences are different, there's never been a man, there's never been a woman as smart as both of them together. Their intelligences really are different. Husband typically comes home from a day on the job, you know, all motivated, man alive, he's got this great idea, going to solve their financial problems forever, and he proceeds to confidently tell the plan to his wife, and then looks at her and says, now, what do you think about that? And she's likely to say, well, I don't agree. And he'll say, why not? And she gives a logical answer, just because. Now, for a woman, that's logical. For a man, that's ridiculous. What she's really saying is, look, I cannot verbalize it at this moment, but my spirit tells me this is not a good idea. Now, husbands and wives, this is when you start talking. Mm-hmm. Because, number one, it shows respect for each other's opinions. Number two, the combination of his intelligence and your intelligence will likely come up with some creative ideas that will take an idea that had some good points but some bad points. And when you combine the two, you can very frequently come up with a plan that works for the betterment of both. When you respect each other, all long-term happy marriages are built on respect and trust. And when you do it this way, that will help you in both areas of your life, your career and your relationship with each other.
Great input from Zig Ziglar. Zig, what would you say would be a good first step for somebody who really wants to begin to live a life that's better than good? Where do they begin? They're motivated. They're charged up today. But now they got to put the pedal to the metal and really get going. What's a good first step?
The first step always is to talk to God about it, to make certain that your plan jives with his plan. Because if it's in conflict with the plan he has for you, and he will reveal it to you. He does that, you know. And in the Bible, it talks about the fact that in those early days, how he sent people there speaking the language of the people they were talking to. All different kinds of languages. God provides help in one way or another. In my wall of gratitude, I've got people on that wall that God put there to guide and direct me. We need to seek godly counsel for godly people. We need to pray about it, but we need to study the Bible. Build that personal relationship and that personal knowledge of what God has to say in His book. Because there are 2,000 prophecies in the Bible. All of them have not come to pass yet, but not one has ever proved to be false. All of them that have come through are exactly as prophesied in the Bible. 60 prophecies in the Bible made 400 years before the birth of Christ, predicting His birth, death, and resurrection. All of them came to pass exactly as passed. I have complete trust in the Bible. I laughingly tell people I believe it from Genesis to maps, and sometimes I think the maps are inspired. I get my inspiration out of God's Word because I know I can trust it completely, and I know I have already won. I'm registered in heaven right now.
Well, that's really good, and any of our listeners can have the same thing. Zig, I understand why they call you a motivational speaker. I am so motivated, and I know our listeners are too. Thank you for spending time with us here in the studio.
It's been a thrill.
What a privilege.
Jim, let me tell you, years ago I discovered and realized the media can get along real good without me. I can't get along without the media, so my hat is off and my gratitude to you for permitting me to participate in this.
Well, it is our privilege.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Zig Ziglar here on the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about creating a life you can't wait to live. And this is an interview that Jim recorded with Zig a couple years ago at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And we bring it out from time to time just as a reminder for all of us that God sometimes has to break apart some things in our life before He can really build the things in us that He wants. And if you'd like to hear this program again, remember we stream audio at homeward.com. And you can also get a copy of the full-length audio CD of this program simply by writing to us. Include a gift of any amount when you write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
Well, there is so much routine in life, and so many of us get stuck in sort of a treadmill-like experience, it's hard to imagine that there is a life that is more than just ordinary. Well, Zig Ziglar calls that a life which is better than good. And today on Homeward, what a privilege it has been once again to talk with Zig Ziglar about creating a life that you can't wait to live. Proverbs 15:23 says, "How good is a timely word." And I hear these words also in Proverbs 25:11. The right word at the right time is like precious gold set in silver. In fact, that was my prayer today in my small group. And after spending time with a man like Zig Ziglar, a man who understands and personifies these verses, well, I want to be that kind of a person as well. And I want to be an encourager. And I know that the best place to put these principles into practice is at home with Kathy and my girls. And imagine how our homes would change for the good if we were committed to saying the right words at the right time. Well, our marriages would be strengthened for sure, and think of the added security that would bring to the lives of our children also. Since we've been talking about this principle of saying the right things at the right time, I want to bring today's program to a close by offering you a word of encouragement. I want you to know that just by the fact that you took the time today to listen to this program tells me that you have your priorities in order. You want your home to be a place of love and, I hope, laughter, strength, and security. I commend you for taking that stance in your home, and I honor you for the dedication to that cause.
It's a great reminder as we conclude today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. And Homeward is here as a ministry actually Dr. Jim Burns started in 1985 as the National Institute of Youth Ministry. It then became Youth Builders and then Homeward to focus on how parents can help their children pass that legacy of faith on to the next generation. And every resource that we have at homeward.com is designed to help you do just that. One of the best ways that we can be most effective for God is finding that sweet spot, creating that life that we can't wait to live, and then just going after it. And when you visit our online resource center today at homeward.com, you'll find a number of resources that Dr. Jim Burns recommends. And I'd like to recommend one of Jim's books here. The 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family is a very, very practical and helpful book that will help you as a parent really set the tone in your home so that your kids can live in their sweet spot and that they can develop a sweet tooth for Jesus, as it were. If you'd like more ordering information on that book, go to homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.